was encouraged us to reflect on Isaiah 55 in a quiet time of prayer and reflection and waiting on God. And I said to you that I would share some of the reflective thoughts that I had as well on that. And what I've done is they're really just reflections and thoughts that I'm going to share throughout the morning, interspersed with some songs and some prayers as well. So they're quite personal to me as well as to you. So if that comes across, you'll just have to bear with me with that as well. But let's just pray and ask the Lord to speak deep into our hearts through his word. Lord, may your spirit come. Come close to us, we pray this morning. Spirit of God, lift us above ourselves. Lift us to a new place, to a safe place, to a deep place, where we may behold the King of Glory, that we may behold our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
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 So I felt as we started to look at this scripture, and just to, it wasn't a Bible study so much as a just letting the words enter deeply into you. Often we can study the Word of God and it sort of, it stays here in our heads, but not necessarily descending that little distance into our hearts. And it was a lovely thing to do. And I felt the Lord saying to me, listen, Brian, to me, and eat what is good. Listen to me, and eat what is good. You see, I realise that food and, you know, I've still got a switch in the coffee left here, food and drink, they're good for us, for our physical strength, for our growth, and also for our well-being. It's good. But Jesus invites us to come to him because he nourishes us and satisfies us beyond anything physical as we come to him. He has good and satisfying nutrition for our souls. Good and satisfying. He is good and he does us good. He is good and he does us good. Let me say that again. He is good and he does us good. He's good and satisfying nutrition then for our souls is a blessing for us. What does Jesus say? If anybody is thirsty, come to him and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures say, streams of living water will flow from within him. Jesus also says, doesn't he, in the chapter before that in John 6, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me, or she who believes in me, will never be thirsty. As we come to him, we find those deep hungers and those deep yearnings and thirstings and dissatisfactions are eased. And we find a whole new sense of well-being. And it's in him. It's in him that we find that. Actually, it's good to be with each other, but our strength is in him first and foremostly. Amen? Are you still there? That's good. I haven't quite finished, but I've nearly finished this first little bit. So today, you see, what I want to say to you, each one of you, wherever you are in your homes, where we are, and Brian, for me right now, Jesus is again right today inviting you and me. Those of us, wherever we are, he's inviting us to come to him and be refreshed. To be refreshed, maybe in our bodies, but particularly in our souls, our minds, our will, our emotions, that inner part of us and in our spirits. For as he speaks, our souls are revived. His word brings life. His word brings light. His word brings hope. So as he speaks, let him speak to us today. Let's just take a moment to pause. We're going to sing a lovely song that we're no longer slaves to fear. All those sorts of things are eased as we just gently come, knowing that we're loved and accepted in his presence. Let's just be still, and then we'll sing this song together.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with song.
Joy. God holds you safe in his hands. And when he says come, he doesn't invite you to come so he can push you away and say you're not worthy. He says you can come. And right now, let's come with our prayers of praise and thanks. Short prayers of praise right now. Thank you, Bethema, for reading God's word to us there as well, the second part of Isaiah 55. Hopefully you're just sort of finding this helpful this morning as we just encounter the Lord through his word, through the songs, through prayers. And just these it's certainly not a sermon. It's just those words of that song, I'm desperate for you, Lord. I'm desperate for you, Lord. As I was reading this scripture, as I was reflecting on it when we did this just a week or two ago, the thing that came to my mind was, I surrender afresh to you, Lord. I surrender afresh to you. For you are good. We always need to hold that in mind. God is always good. He cannot change. One day he's not bad or indifferent. He's always good. Always faithful. Always loyal. Always holy. So that's what I started to think about. I surrender afresh to you, Lord, for your good. So if we are hungry and thirst and need to be satisfied by the Lord, a thing that comes across here is that verse 7. We're in need not just of satisfaction from the Lord, but we're in need of cleansing. We're in need of ongoing salvation, which is what salvation is ongoing. There's a need for us to come, if you like, to repentance. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the evil person their thoughts. That always when we come to reflect, to be still before God, as we come to listen to his voice, so often, so he will highlight as well the areas an area that might need us to turn from. Verse 7, let me just read it to you again. Let him or her, notice the women thought they got away with it there because it was all in the masculine, but it isn't in the masculine. It's for both of us, that the men and the women turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God who will freely pardon. The whole idea is let them turn to God, because that, and the idea of turning to God means here, it means to change our minds on what he's revealed that's negative. It might be a fear, it might be a dormant thing that you didn't even think was a sin or something negative. We turn from things that displease God. And some of them are so deep within our humanity that sometimes just gently brings them to the surface. Never harshly, Repentance here means to turn, to change our mind from the negative. And but you see, salvation from God isn't negative, it's positive. When God reveals something negative, it is not to harm us. It is to liberate us. It is to heal us. It is to make us whole. It is what is negative, he wants to turn to be positive. And turning to the Lord, the turning, the changing of one's thinking, of one's mind, it's only possible as we turn to the Lord, as we turn and face him, we turn and look at him, we turn and hear him again. And as we turn to him, he always, always has mercy and pardon. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus has brought that for us. Jesus' cross, there is always the power to forgive. There is always the power to heal. There's always the power to cleanse and to start all over again. However you may feel today, you might be drifted a long way or you're just a little way from God. We just need to turn back to the one who gave everything for us on the cross. The power of the cross is salvation for yesterday and today and tomorrow. So what we need to do, as John reminds the disciples, is simply, and it always happens if you wait upon the Lord, I'm sorry, but it's one of those little things I didn't warn you about beforehand, but we already know, is that when we wait on the Lord, he will reveal those little things. He'll highlight them. They'll come in with little spotlight, and we can turn from them. Because John, what does John say? If we confess our sins, our negative things, even those negative thoughts, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to occasionally forgive us if we spend enough money on charity. Doesn't say that at all, does it? It doesn't say anything like that. It says he's faithful and just always to forgive us our sins. And more than that, to cleanse us from unrighteousness, to wipe it clean. I love that scripture, don't you? So as I was thinking about this, our God is one who always, always brings forgiveness and pardon. See, it is a positive thing to turn, to seek. And with the Holy Spirit's help, it's more than possible to forsake our wicked ways, as the scripture there tells us. To forsake, to turn from them, to leave them alone and do what pleases God. I can't, but he who lives in me can. Just tap your chest if you want to say, where's God's Spirit? Right here, dwelling in me. All things are possible with God's help. So as this was a reflection, I asked a question about all this sort of stuff I just shared with you. Why? Why is it important to change our minds? Why? I couldn't always ask that. Well, Lord, so when you're talking to the Lord and that sort of way, you say, well, why is it important? And it's important because this scripture tells us that his ways are higher. His ways are pure. His ways are true. His ways are just and honest. And his ways are eternal. They don't change for every generation. Those that have gone before, those that will come after us, his ways are holy and pure. And we have to agree, Lord, that your thoughts are beyond all human understanding. Why? Because you are God. This reminder says, he is God. And I think he's done that again. Brian, if you aren't in charge, he's God. And his ways are beyond our understanding. Your thoughts are beyond all human understanding. You are God. And I reflected, we're sitting looking out at the South Downs here, and we get the most beautiful, beautiful sunsets just where we are so often. And he talks in this scripture about the rain and the snow coming down from heaven and the sunset. So as I reflected on the sunsets, on the rain, on the snow, etc., they point actually to the greatness of God and to the greatness of his word. Your ways, your thoughts are manifest in all those things. You are not just God, you are our creator God. You are my creator, you are our creator. Sometimes what God does appears to be slow or even silent, but it's always fertile, scripture tells me. It will water the earth, it will water our souls, it will bring about that growth that God wants, that goodness that God wants for us. God's ways might appear different, slow or silent, but are so fertile. And your thoughts, Lord, are far-reaching. Think about that. God is just big. If we don't do anything else today, our God is big. So verse 10 tells me really what came to my mind is that you are our God who gives us the stuff of life to gladden us and to fulfill life. In other words, Jesus put it another way, he said, I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness, or abundant life. Because what you say, Lord, and what you do, and what you desire, is good. I'm going to repeat that to you. What you say, Lord, what you do, and what you desire for us, is good. Amen. So let's sing a next song before we ever find a little reflection, which is another lovely song called The Goodness of God. Thank you, Tony.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Strange bit at the end of this, but of course it isn't. As I thought about that, as we've been studying Isaiah together over the last few months now, clearly, you know, the people of Israel were in captivity. They were far away from their land. You know, they were not in a happy place or a good place, and they were there because of ultimately God had enough, really, and said, right, then judgment will have to come. And it did finally. But it doesn't last long because God always has plans for good. as they learn. And this is this Isaiah 55 is written at the time when the people are about to be liberated and set free. There's the change in Babylon, and the Medes and the Persians are now there, and it's all change, and they will be returning home. They will be going back. So they're emerging from captivity. This is my third thought, really. Moving forward with God. There's liberty and there's joy as we move forward with God. And we are on a pilgrimage. We're not called to be settlers. We're called to be pioneers, as my friend Gerald Coates used to say. We're called to be pioneers moving forward with the rucksack rather than a palatial mansion laid out before us. And so often we settle, the church settles, we settle. And they could even settle in Babylon, but they'd say, no, as you go out, you're going to be led forth with joy. Even the trees, with poetic language, will clap their hands. There's going to be singing and joy as we move forward out from where we are now, out from captivity. And I think about us as a nation and us as individuals, actually, as we start to emerge from the captivity of lockdown. And here Israel have been, are thinking about liberation from Babylon. Even though we've had the most strangest of times, the most difficult of times, as the people of God did, I think it was 70 years in captivity. But even though we may have the most testing of times, our hope and our faith and our inheritance as God's children, is not destroyed because of it. Our church isn't destroyed because of we can't meet together. The church worldwide hasn't been either. And we will emerge and go forth in a whole new way, in today's way, the way that God wants us for now. We'll move forward. Because what God has planted, brothers and sisters, in me, in you, in us, he tends and he nurtures. And he feeds. And what God has planted in you and me will blossom and will grow. And it's particularly important for us. This has been a monumental week, really, for me. I sat in a meeting this week with Brother Wayne, with our developer and the architect for our building. I've had meetings this week with the buyers of our piece of land. And as in the days ahead, as we will prepare to leave our old building, what I feel God is saying to us, even though we've been there a long time in that place, in that hut, it has many memories. But we will go out with joy and we will be led forth in peace. That's God's promise for us. This is God's word for now. This leapt out at me. He will plant us as tall trees, are the promise. Not just little whippets and brambles and anything else. His strength and his beauty, is what this scripture tells us, will be displayed in us and through us. Into Merston, but not just into Merston, and beyond us. I want to tell you, I believe that a tree is a totally different thing and it takes a time to grow and develop, but it's there. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Not just a little annual in the garden, but something that's going to be lasting. God, what he plants is going to bear fruit, and fruit that will last. Believe when you think about trees, you think about growth and splendor. And all this is the promise, as it says here. What's it for? It's for the Lord's renown. It's not because we're special. It's for the Lord's renown. It's for the Lord's glory. It's for the advancement of his kingdom. And he thinks that we are the right people to do that at this time. I don't know why, do you? Perhaps I, you know, but that's this growth that he promises us, this new beginning with a new building as well, will be for the Lord's renown. And we had this meeting and we were, the next few weeks, these plans could be at the council for us, our building, within our building limits and our capacity to cope. So exciting, really. I mean, not very exciting, the thought of all the bureaucracy. We've had the papers, we've had the sign for the Baptist Union, but I tell you, it'd be worth going through even that, Ruth, to get to a new place, the way God is planting us to spring up to a tall tree, trees of the field that will clap their hands for the joy of the Lord. But it's the sign of his everlasting love that he's committed to every generation. His love endures from one generation to another. This then, this morning, friends, is our great God and our Saviour, who started this morning off by saying to you and me, come to me if you're thirsty, and I will satisfy your soul, and I will give you strength. Let's just be still now and pray together. Well, we don't feel very strong, but we acknowledge that actually when we're weak, then you are made strong in us. That it's not by human might, but by your spirit within us. Lord, with you we can do all things. Without you can we do nothing. Draw us in these days ever closer to you. Thank you. You never push us away, but you draw us close. You've drawn us close so that we can go out into our community, go out with joy, go out with mission, with compassion. And we pray that many, many will be drawn to you in these days ahead. Strengthen us, we pray now, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.